Dr. Benning needs no introduction, but really, you know, a pleasure on Yom Tov. I want to wish everybody Mo'adim U'Simcha. I hope everybody had a beautiful Pesach so far. We'll continue to have a beautiful Pesach. We shall be well and safe and healthy. And Tehillim, beautiful Ashrei, we say it three times a day. So it's we say it three times a day, but we don't learn it so often. So Dr. Benny Vakasha, we're going to learn a little bit about Mizmor Kuf Memhe Vakasha.
Thank you very much, Mo'adim L'Simcha, to everybody. Mizmor 145, Kuf Memhe, is a very unique one. We learn about Sefer Tehillim, and now we have, quite at the end of the book, we have finally a title of the Mizmor, which is called Tehillah LeDavid. If the book is called Tehillim, here we go, that it's not a Mizmor, it's not a Shir, it is a Tehillah. So it is the superlative, it is the best representation of Tehillim. Tehillim comes to a highlight. It's indeed the last Mizmor which is dedicated to David HaMelech. So appropriate that coming to the end, which in itself tells us a lot, coming to the end, it has a title, Tehillah LeDavid. It is a Tehillah. What do we have before? We have before the unit 138 to 145, and 145 has a double function, as you see here on my summary. It is both the last one of the unit of 138 to 145, the last collection of David, and 145 is the end point, the last time we hear a Mizmor dedicated to David. And the last six Mizmorim, or let's call it the last five Mizmorim, 146, 147 to the end, they all start with Hallelujah, and they all end with Hallelujah. So we have five Mizmorim at the end, which are classical Hallelujah Mizmorim. Really good that at the end we finish with Hallelujah. That tells us a lot of the editorial intention of the entire book. And 145 is doubled. It shares. It's both the last LeDavid and the first of Tehillah. It's not connected with Hallelujah at the beginning and Hallelujah at the end. As we shall see soon, it begins with Tehillah LeDavid and it ends with Tehillah Tashem Yedaber Pi. So this position and the role, the technique of the headings tells us a lot. It's the last time we hear personally talking King David, and he talks about himself, that I'm doing praise, I'm praising Hashem, and my praise, LeDavid, should be for myself in the last verse, Tehillat Hashem Yedaber Pi, Vivarech Kol Basar, and he wants to involve everybody. We can learn a lot from the headings and understand that 145 is really the finale, the last one dedicated to David. I have always a consideration, is it worthwhile to focus on the Mizmor and take it from there? What's the context? What's the intertext? Or should I talk a little bit about the background? And the only correct answer is that there is no really a correct answer. Because you can take, we can look now at the Mizmor as a unit, and afterwards to see how it fits perfectly to the context. We can also look at the context and understand why it has to present these messages, which we learned from looking at the text. I would like to start today, despite this general consideration, I would like to talk first about the text and afterwards talk about the context and say a few comments on the text so it will interfere these two approaches. Let's start with the reading of the Mizmor. It has an acrosticon. The Mizmor begins and ends, as we said, with Tehillah and Tehillat Hashem. And we will see it has a beautiful, beautiful structure. Tehillah LeDavid, Aror Mimcha Elohai HaMelech V'Avarcha Shimcha Leolam Va'ed. V'Chol Yom Avarcheka V'Ahalela Shimcha Leolam Va'ed. גדול אדוני ומעולל מאוד ולגדולתו אין חקר. דור לדור ישבח מעשיך וגבורותיך יגידו, הדר כבוד הודך, ודברי נפלאותיך אסיך, ואזוז נורותיך יומרו, וגדולתך אספרנה. זכר רבטובך יביאו, וצדקתך ירננו. חנון ורחום השם ערך אפיים וגדל חסד. טוב השם לכל ורחמיו על כל מעשיו. יודוך השם כל מעשיך, וחסידיך יברכוך. כבוד מלכותך יאמרו וגבורתך ידברו. להודיע לבני האדם גבורותיו וכבוד הדר מלכותו, מלכותך מלכות כל עולמים וממשלתך בכל דור ודור. סומך השם לכל הנופלים וזוקף לכל הכפופים. עיני חול אליך יסברו, ואתה נותן להם את אוכלם בעיתו. פותח את ידיך ומשביע לכל חי רצון. צדיק השם בכל דרכיו וחסיד בכל מעשיו. קרוב השם לכל קוריו, לכל אשר יקראו באמת. רצון יראיו יעשה ואת שבתם ישמע ויושיעם. שומר השם את כל אוהביו ואת כל הרשעים ישמיד. תהילת השם ידבר פי ויברך כל בשר, שם קודשו לעולם ועת. There are many interesting thoughts and messages to the Mizmor. That's the presentation, the format I use these days. And I used to work with more colors in previous documentation, in previous presentations. And I would like to use here the presentation which you can see here. It is very colorful. Not every Mizmor enabled such a wonderful structure and such a great presentation with colors, which I want to show you in a moment. I will use both formats because you will see that each of them has something very special to show. This format is based on a paper which I had the honor to write with Professor Reuven Kimmelmann from Brandeis University. And a lot here is also taken from an excellent paper by Professor Meir Weiss, Zichrono Livracha, who wrote in Hebrew a paper on this Mizmor. The Mizmor, and there are many interesting aspects, now we have to focus, how do we start to say the main point of the Mizmor? The Mizmor has an introduction, Pasuk Aleph and Bet, first two verses. It has a center, 10, verse 10, and it has a closing. In the wording of Professor Meir Weiss, a prelude, an interlude, and a postlude. It has a clear leitmotif, meaning a word which is repeated. Avarecha, avarecheka, in the middle, yevarechucha, and at the end, vivarech. It's by far not enough just to say we have a word at the beginning and at the end. We have much, much more than just the word. The word comes in a certain context, in a grammatical form. At the beginning, I will praise Hashem, my King. I will bless him. I will bless your name forever. Le'olam va'ed. Bechol yom, and I will do that every day, that I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever. The first two psukim, they talk about the Song of David. But what he does, he blesses Hashem, his name, forever. It's him personally who does that. At the very end, it's again, Tehilat Hashem Yedaber Pi. That should be in green as well, my apologies. It is my mouth who will say the praise of Hashem, but it's not a private praise. It is the praise of all flesh, Vivarech. Kol basar, shem kocho leolam vaed. And that should be in green as well. It is shem leolam vaed, which we have in the last line, which we have in the beginning, shimcha leolam vaed. But there is a huge difference between the beginning and the end. If at the beginning it is King David's praise, and only his praise privately, personally, at the end, oh, it is my praise, Tehilat Hashem Yedaber Pi, it is my mouth, but it will recruit everybody. All flesh will praise his name forever. He will include everybody. Vivarech kol basar, Shem kocho lo alam va'ed, is a totally different music than the very similar verse at the beginning, Va'avarcha shimcha lo alam va'ed. If at the beginning it's only me, King David, at the end it is just everybody, all flesh on earth. And here we have a very beautiful example where some of the scholars will say, oh, it's an inclusion at the beginning and at the end, the same words, and that's it. It doesn't do justice to explain it this way. Yes, it is an inclusion with the same words at the beginning and at the end. Tehillah levarech shimcha leolam va'et. At the beginning, Tehillah levarech shimcha leolam va'et, even twice. And at the end, Tehillah levarech shimcha leolam va'et. But it is a huge difference. What at the beginning was my private praise is at the end, the praise and the blessing from all flesh. And it is the same, but totally different because it expands to the entire world. And here we have a very interesting observation. Shimcha le'olam va'et, at the beginning, I will bless your name forever. At the end, it says, O vivarech kol basar shem kotsho le'olam va'et. At the end, we say, it should bless all flesh, your name of holiness forever. Why do we have it at the end, kotsho? If kotsho is an issue of your name forever, it should be at the beginning. And if it's not an issue, it shouldn't be at the end either, because at the beginning, it's not. Of course, kol basar, that is the movement, the dynamic of the mizmor. At the beginning, it's me. At the end, it's everybody. That's fair. That's okay. That's the point. But if it is shem, shimcha leolam va'et, twice at the beginning, it should be, for the analogy, the same. Why do we have at the end the name of your holiness? And that's a beautiful, beautiful observation. The word kocho at the end indicates only if I can share the bracha, which I'm doing, with all others, not with some friends and some colleagues, family, students, or my people, with everybody. Only if I accomplish this extension to the entire universe, only at that point, your name, Shimcha Leolam Va'et, will be Shem Kodesho Leolam Va'et. That brings the holiness that I share it with everybody. It's compatible with everybody. It came through to all others. If I'm capable to bring it to all others, it is Shem Kodesho. It's not Shimcha Leolam Va'et. So that is a very, very important dynamic between the beginning and the end. I will use this slide for many comments, and I will not, as I do very often, rush from one slide to the other with a few points. This is a slide which is worthwhile to look at very, very detailed and to see, to recognize the beauty of this mizmor. The word yevarchuch, levarech, to bless, as a leitmotif, a leading word of this chapter, appears exactly sharp in the middle. Yevarechucha. Who is praising here? At the beginning, it's only me, King David. At the end, it is all flesh, all over the world. In the middle, it says, Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yevarechucha. All your creatures will thank you, and your chassidim, your close ones, those who love you, they will bless you. So what happened here? Why do we have in the prelude, it's only King David? In the postlude, it's all flesh. And in the middle, all those who love you. And I think here, that is a beautiful example that we can see. It goes from the private one, personal from the author of this text, to all those who love you, chassidecha, and with them, to all flesh on earth. That is exactly the point of the Mizmor with one observation, beginning, middle, and end. The bracha, the blessing, the activity of the blessing starts with the author, with King David. It involves the Hasidim, and at the end, everybody is involved and is recruited to praise Hashem forever, and that is the holiness. At that point, it will come to the holiness, the entire world. What are these Hasidim, which are play such an important role, a turning point of the Mizmor, obviously, in the middle? All those who love you, they will be part of it. And they will continue to do what they do. We should talk about that in a moment. Who are these Hasidim? It's not the Hasidism of Baal Shem Tov of the 18th century in Poland. It's not the Hasidut of Hasidei Ashkenaz, the 11th century. Everybody who loves you. Everybody who is in favor to do something for your name. It is all your creatures, kol ma'asecha. That's the analogy at the beginning of the verse and at the end. All your creatures who see the creation, they will all get involved. That is a totally universal message. And might be before we talk what the Mizmor is talking about, we can say very clearly what the Mizmor is not talking about. The Mizmor is not talking about Eretz Yisrael. The Mizmor is not talking about the Torah. The Mizmor is not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. The Mizmor is not talking about Jewish history, not about Moshe, about David is mentioned just at the beginning as a name. But if you look at the entire Mizmor, it is the creation and it's mankind. Lohodia livnei ha'adam gvurotav, verse 12, it's everybody. It is a classical, universal Mizmor. King David comes and talks out to everybody. And there is nobody who is excluded. There is everybody, all flesh is included, but he is fully engaged personally. And he takes those who love Hashem as very important messenger to help him to spread the world, to spread the word out to the entire world. And if we look just at the prelude, interlude, and postlude, we got the idea of this Mizmor. And might be we got the idea not only of this Mizmor, of the entire unit called Pesukei de Zimra 145 to 150, as we should see later and in next week's Shiur. So that is the first point from Meir Weiss' prelude, interlude, and postlude. Now let's take a look what happens in between. And here, Meir Weiss points out that there are two units between the prelude, 1-2, to the interlude, 10. There is a unit which I put here in two different colors. One describes the greatness of Hashem, and one describes the good features, the generosity of Hashem, Tov. Gedula is at the beginning, part of the alphabet. Gadol Hashem umulal meod, veli gedulato ein cheker. And it ends, ugedulatcha asaprena. You are great and praiseworthy, and your greatness has no end. And therefore, I and others will talk about your greatness. The greatness starts with the other generations, me personally, and we all appreciate God's greatness. And afterwards, we appreciate he's not only great, gadol, he has tuv, zecher rav tuvcha, yabiyu, and at the end, tov Hashem lakol, God is good for everybody, and his mercy on all his creatures, on all his ma'asav, on everything he did in creation. It's his greatness and his feature to be good. Interesting, and we will benefit now to look at the intertextuality. Chanun v'rachum Hashem, erech hapaim ugdal chaset, is quoting directly Shmot 34, where the 13 midot, the 13 features of Hashem are presented, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech hapaim, v'rav chesed ve'emet. So it's really quoting, but it's not the features which we learned about at Mount Sinai, Shmot 35. It is his greatness disconnected, not necessarily Mount Sinai, not Am Yisrael, not Torah Yisrael, not Jewish history. It's his greatness in nature, in the universe, universally. And here we can understand now better that God's mercy, v'rachamav al kol ma'asav, verse 9, his mercy is on all his creation, on all his creatures, and everything he created. Therefore, yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha. Ma'asecha in verse 9 is everything he created, stone, animals, whatever. Whatever you see in creation. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, all your creatures will thank you. Ma'asecha and ma'asav is the same word. But if in verse 9 it is the creation, in verse 10 it is those who can thank. A stone cannot thank. A sunrise and a sunset cannot thank. But ma'asecha, your creatures, human beings, they can thank, and they will come to be your chasidecha, those who love you. That is the beginning between the prelude and the interlude. What happens between the interlude, verse 10, to the postlude, verse 21? And here we have again two units. The unit 11, 12, and 13, they talk about malchut, your kingdom. The honor, the glory of your kingdom, they, the chasidim, will tell, and that they talk about your gvura, your power, and they will teach, they will share it with all human beings. Your gvura and your kingdom will be respected by all of them. And afterwards, malchutcha, malchut kol olamim, your kingdom is all over. If you look at these three verses, they mention four times the word malchut. Yes, at the beginning it's mentioned as well in the title, Arumimcha Elohai HaMelech, but the concept of Malchut, God's kingdom, is spelled out in 11, 12, and 13. And look at the beauty of biblical poetry. If you look at the verse, if you look at these three verses between 11, 12, and 13, you will pay attention that they start with the word, with the letter Kaf Lamet Mem. Kvod Malchutcha, Lohodia Livne Adam Gvurotav, Kvod Adam Malchuto, and Malchutcha, Malchut Kol Olamim. Look at the wonderful biblical poetry that these first three letters, if you read them backwards, they say melech. They say king. Kvod malchutcha lehodia malchutcha malchut kol olamim umemshaltacha b'chol dor v'dor. That is an outstanding beauty that it happened that the three words of king, melech, are just summarized in kaf, lamet, mem. And only if we understand the dynamic of these three verses, I will talk about it in the next slide, we actually accomplish the concept to accept God as a king, Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim. What happened between 14 to 20? Between 40 to 20, the word kol is repeated all the time. Somech Hashem l'chol anoflim, v'zokef l'chol akfufim, einei chol alecha yasabiru, masbiya l'chol chai ratzon, kol drachav, chasid b'chol ma'asav, l'chol korav, l'chol asher yikru be'emet, shomer Hashem et kol avav, et kol arshaim yashmid. And at the end, v'yvarech kol basar Hashem kodsho l'olam v'et. If at the end we say all flesh will do it, it spreads to all many others who are described as all those who fall, all those who need help, all those who need you, because Hashem cares for all of them, and therefore all flesh will respect him. Again, that kol at the end should be here in blue as well. That is the structure of the mizmor. prelude, interlude, postlude, and in before, 2 units, and at the end, 2 units. Very, very interesting that there was a Talmid Chacham called Rabbi Eliezer Rokach, a Jewish scholar from the 13th century, if I remember correctly, Bala Rokeach. And he said that every bracha, every blessing we say has exactly the same wording. Please look at the right side, the right margin. Baruch Ata Hashem, I bless you, Hashem. Or blessed are you, Hashem, by me. And at the end, Elokeinu, our God. So I share my blessing with our group of Hasidim. And at the end, I say, Melech Haolam, you are the king of the world. The dynamic of my personal blessing shared with others, our God and God of the entire world, is exactly the dynamic of the Mizmor, beginning, middle, and end. And what comes in between is just shared by this idea. Please pay attention that the kol idea at the end has something very unique. The letters Shin Mem are repeated, and I tried to say it when I read it. Retzon Yirav Yaseh, and at the end, before we say Shem Kodesh Olam Ve'et His name, we say Ve'et Shav Atam, what they call and approach Hashem in their prayer, Yishema, Hashem listens, V'yoshiem, and helps them, is Shomer, he protects them, and the evildoers, Ve'et Kol Arsha'im Yashmid. It's a pun with Shin Mem, repeated 5 times. That is his holy name. That he brings justice to the world. That is one way to present it. And I included here also what we say before and afterwards in our tefillah, which we'll talk about later. I want to point out now something very, very beautiful, which is on one hand a very detailed local observation. And on the other hand, it really, really serves the flow and the message, the spirit of this Mizmor. We had in Pasuk 10 the concept that all your creatures, Yoducha Hashem Kol Maasecha, will thank you. V'chasidecha Yevarchucha, and those who love you will praise you. So that is something of this, the group of your supporters, of your believers. What are they going to do? They will tell Kvod Malchutcha Yomeru. They keep saying your kingdom, the honor of your kingdom, and Gvuratcha, your power, they will talk about it. But that's not enough. The Hasidim, they are not happy by just repeating for themselves your kingdom and your power. They go out, they reach out to all human beings. Lehodia Livnei Ha'adam Gvurotav. They talk about your power to all human beings. 12. Uchvod Hadar Malchuto. And they talk about the honor of your kingdom. No, the honor of the glory of your kingdom. Hadar, it says in 12. It says Kvod Malchutcha in 11 and 12. But here we have also Hadar. And interesting, Malchut comes first in verse 11. And afterwards, Gvura. And when they talk to other human beings, they talk first about Gvura and afterwards about Malchut. Only when they share it with others, your kingdom is forever, and your memshalah, your governance, your leadership on the world is for all generations. There are many important differences which we have to explain. And another observation is that Gvuratcha is singular, your power, and Gvurotav is your powerful actions. Gvurotav is plural and Gvuratcha is singular. And if they talk to the other human beings, they talk about Hashem. Gvurotav, his power, his kingdom. What is the difference for that? And I think here we have what I have on the first slide, a microscope. Let's take a look at these two psukim very, very carefully. And we see that there is a very important message when those who love you, your Hasidim, when they praise Hashem, when they bless Hashem, they right away respect that Hashem is the king. And they right away understand your power. But if they go to talk to others, they switch the order. They say Hashem, when they talk to other people, to all other human beings, they talk about Hashem. They leave Hashem or talking to him, they leave it aside for a moment because now they talk to the human beings and they talk to them about Hashem in the third form, indirectly about him. Therefore, first you talk about his power, about the beautiful nature, whatever you can say about Gvurot. And once they talk to him, Uchvod Hadal Malchuto, and they share it with all others, there is a huge, huge difference. If you spread the word, it has all of a sudden Hadal, it has glory. The same Kvod Malchut, the honor of your kingdom, has the honor and the glory of your kingdom. Why is this word added? Because we have another pasuk in Mishlei 14, where it says, if you have a lot of people together, Berov Am Hadrat Melech, the king is never alone. Only if there are many people who accept his kingdom, he is really a powerful king because he has many supporters. The word Hadar is added once the Hasidim share the word with others. And they switch the order. I brought here on the lower part of the slide a beautiful explanation from the Altshich, Rabbi Moshe Altshich, 15th, 16th century. And he explained, if you go and talk to others, you first talk about his greatness, his gvurot. And the conclusion is, that must be his kingdom. But if they talk themselves, they talk respectfully first about the kingdom, because they are believers, and afterwards about his power. That's the only way to spread the word of Malchut. So we had these four verses in the right here. We had them here from 10, 11, 12, 13. And you see that they are not only a local explanation on these two, on these four verses. They're actually the spirit of the Mizmor. Spread it out, bring it to the entire world, bring the word to the entire world, as we saw here. Now that is my new format, which both is very helpful. There is more place, and I will repeat a little bit what I said before. Not everything has to be presented here, but I want to show you one particular word. And the word I want to share with you is, the word I want to particularly share with you is ma'asecha, your creatures. It says that in verse 4, Dor ledor yeshabach ma'asecha. Every generation will praise your actions, your creation. Afterwards, it says in verse 9, Verachamav al kol ma'asav. They say it, and Hashem protects them. He has mercy with them in 9. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha. They actually thank you and they bless you. Because from these ma'asim, ma'asecha, you will have a group of those who are you chassidim, and they get closer to you. And afterwards it says, in not only those who are the chassidim, they will be part of your creatures, and they will also be chassidim. There is an interaction. In verse 17 it says, Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. The same way that the chassidim will bless Hashem because they are unique. There are a unique group of your ma'asecha. Hashem will care for us because he will be now the chassid for all his creatures. And at the end, in verse 19, you have Ritzon Yirav Ya'aseh. He will do the will, the wish of those, Hashem will do it, of those who respect him. And he will listen to their prayer. So there is a story, if you look at the word ma'asim, which appears 5 times in the Mizmor. That is the spirit of Mizmor 145. Let me share with you now, very important, intertextual hints, and I limited it to two examples only. Verse 8 in Tehillim says, "Rchanun v'rachum Hashem erech apayim ugdal chaset." It's quoting almost literally the 13 midot, God's features. Hashem revealed himself to Moshe, "Ani avir kol tuvi alecha, ani avir kol tuvi al panecha, v'karati b'shem Hashem lefanecha, v'chanoti et asher achon, v'richamti et asher arachem. V'yavor Hashem al panav, v'yikra Hashem Hashem, el rachum v'chanun erech apayim, v'rav chesed v'emet." In green you have the quotation. This text in Exodus 34 is typically Jewish, is typically Torah at Mount Sinai, is very, very limited to Am Yisrael. If we have the same wording in Tehillim Kuf Mem Hey, if we have the same wording, there is an extremely important message to it. Whatever we, Am Yisrael, learned at the time we got the Torah at Mount Sinai is now applied, is now relevant for the entire world. Our experience at Mount Sinai, Exodus 34, 6, is quoted for the entire world. Everybody in the world, not limited at all to the Jewish people, can continue God's mercy for the world and God's features of Rachum v'chanun erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet. He can continue this with these messages and values of Hashem to the entire world. That is a very important message of the Mizmor, the universalism, the universal message of our Torah. King David takes it out to the entire world. And indeed, the word Malchutcha, Malchut kol olamim, Umemshaltacha b'chol dor v'dor, in verse 13, your kingdom is for the entire world forever, and your power is for all the generations. This message is quoted, not that easy to find, but is quoted three times in the book of Daniel, in chapter 3, 4, and 6. And who says it? The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he says it. So the acceptance of Malchutcha, Malchut Kol Olamim, indeed came through not only to King David, not only to Am Yisrael at Sinai, also to the king in the book of Daniel, the non-Jewish king. He accepts the kingdom of Hashem, Malchutei, Malchut Alam, v'shaltanei amdar vadam. It is for all generations. The Hadrat di Shaltanei. It's also the word Hadar, Shapchet, Malchutei, Imdar Vadar, La'almim Malchutei. That is exactly the message. I will not talk now whether Sefer Daniel influenced Tehillim 145 or the other way around. I will just make one observation. The message that it comes through to everybody, to all human beings, came through in Sefer Daniel. 145 is very, very universal. Everybody can be part of it. So far, the text, and we used for the text, the intertextual connections to Shmot, Exodus, and Sefer Daniel. Now we come to a wonderful world, the contextuality, the message, the main point of this course. And we will see that many, many terms are repeated in this Mizmor. The Mizmor, in the last Mizmor of King David, he uses a lot of other Mizmorim. And I will limit that to only three of them. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, all creatures will thank you, and those who love you will bless you. Yoducha Hashem kol appears in the entire Bible only twice. In the last Mizmor of the last collection of King David, 138 to 135, and then the first one, Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz. We spoke about that. King David wants to approach all other kings, and not only the kings. He wants that all creatures can be part of that. So that is a connection to the first and last mizmor of the last collection for King David, 138 to 145. The term Elohai HaMelech, Elohai Aromimcha, you are my, sorry, Aromimcha Elohai, and I will praise you, I will uplift you, my God, my King, appears only twice in the entire Bible, Aromimcha Elohai. At the end of the Egyptian Hallel, the second verse from the end, it says, Eliyah Tavveodeka Elohai Aromimcha. We went out of Egypt, and the writer there says, and I will pray, I want to praise you and praise you, my God, forever. When does that happen? It doesn't happen in the Egyptian Hallel. There was a little break. It continues in our Hallel, and we spoke about the unit of the three Hallel, which I will repeat in a moment. Gadol Hashem u'me'ulal me'od is a classical praise which we say in the Mizmorim related to Yerushalayim. But our Mizmor does not mention Yerushalayim with one word. But it is the idea and the legacy of these Mizmorim that comes through. I forgot to mention here in this summary, in this list, we'll see it later, Bivarech Kol Basar, at the very end of this Mizmor 145, Kol Basar appears in 136 at the end, Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, God gives food to all flesh. So this Mizmor has a very strong contextuality. What is the story of all these connections? And for that, I would like to come back to this graphic summary. We had here, that is the fifth book. The fifth book started with the concept, Am Yisrael returns from the exile, 104, 107. And we remember King David, 108 to 110. And we learn to imitate Hashem, imitatio Dei, imitating Hashem. And everybody remembers the exodus from Egypt these days and in our days. And afterwards, we get closer to the Torah, 119, and we make our way to Jerusalem, Shir HaMa'alot, and we open our doors to all other nations, which is the Hallel HaGadol, 135 to 136, once we are at home. That is the end, what I call the Israeli experience, the Jewish experience. Afterwards, with 137, we open the horizons wide open to all nations, including the negative experience in Babylon, 137, and we ask for justice. King David comes back and he talks to all those who have deep scars from the diaspora, from the exile, from a long Jewish history in Babylon. And at the end, they are recovered, and there is a restoration by King David of those who suffered in the diaspora, and he invites all other nations to join in 145 to join him. That is the flow, how it comes in between. Everything flows beautifully. And these Hallel units, they are really the milestones in the fifth book. What happened exactly at the end of the fifth book? And we see that here. King David, after everything works fine in Eretz Yisrael, he comes back and he tries to cure Am Yisrael and to cure the world. The entire world needs King David's cure. And he goes to all nations and he says in 145, Hanoten Teshua LaMelachim. It's not the Jewish experience anymore. King David is very, very universal. On one hand, he talks to those who survived the exile, who suffered in the exile, and come back from the diaspora to Eretz Yisrael. But he addresses all creatures. Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yevarchucha. Everybody, lehodia livnei ha'adam gvuratav. That's his final message, the entire world. And afterwards, we'll see that in our next shiur the last shiur, the unit 145, is King David inviting everybody. And he steps back with his Tehillat Hashem, Tehillah le David, and Tehillat Hashem. But from 146 to 150, we have five mizmorim, beginning and closing each of them with Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And the entire world joins King David. Yes, there is a lot about Jewish people. There are a lot about those who live in Yerushalayim, who came back to Yerushalayim at the time of the return from the exile. But they are inspired from the universal invitation from King David in 145. And that I want to show you this idea with this summary, which I shared with you in a previous shiur. We had Hallel HaMitzri, I summarized briefly. We came out of Egypt to the temple. That is Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel. Of course, not only out of Egypt, it is out of Egypt and coming to Eretz Yisrael from Egypt. Mimitzrayim l'Yerushalayim, and we enter the temple. What happens there? We came there, but what happens? We meet the Kohen, we learn the Torah from him, 119, and we get really good, close citizens of Yerushalayim, Shir HaMa'alot, the Song of Ascents, 120 to 135. And afterwards, we are home in the Hallel HaGadol, and we invite others. The blessing here is, as I spoke before, Hashem should bless us, and in the Hallel HaGadol, we will bless him, because we are at home in Yerushalayim. That's the end. But look at here, how beautifully the last word of the Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, Elohai HaMelech, is the opening of 145. Elohai HaMelech at the end, Elohai Arom Memeka, at the end of 118 of the Egyptian Hallel, is the very opening of 145. Aromimcha Elohai HaMelech. I will continue to do that. So what he promised to do in 118 at the end, he will fulfill in 145. And what he spoke about at the end of the big Hallel, the great Hallel, 135 and 136, Noten lechem lechol basar ki lolam chazdo, God cares for all his flesh. In 145 at the end, it is Tehillat Hashem yedaber pi vivarech kol basar shem kodesho leolam vaed. He's not only giving a bread to food to all his to all creatures, he also teaches them how to praise Hashem. The entire universe shares are part of the Hallel of the entire world. So 145 is really a beautiful closing, because in the Psukei de Zimra, King David invites everybody, and as we should see, in 146 to 150, indeed, the entire universe, yes, in particular, Am Yisrael, they will lead the entire world. Everybody should praise Hashem. And here we have a very, very interesting observation, not only in the text of these three Hallel units, quite an innovation, I believe. They play a very special role. We have much more than that. We have a philosophical message. If we are saved, Hallel HaMitzri, and we integrate in Eretz Yisrael, and we function there with the Torah, and with the Mikdash, and with everything in Yerushalayim, we are in a good situation that we can function and invite others. But in the last Hallel, it is King David who opened our horizons to take care, yes, justice against Babylon, but also an invitation to all kings, 138. All kings are invited by King David, and they should all come and actively praise him. King David stops to talk about the Exodus of Egypt. He doesn't talk about the Torah. He doesn't talk about Jerusalem, nor about Jewish history or the temple. Everybody, the entire world. That's the uniqueness of Psukei de Zimra. It's for that feature that Psukei de Zimra are presented every morning, as we should talk about it next time. That is indeed a much higher level. Whatever we experienced in Egypt, and we came back, we should be at Or LaGoyim and to invite the entire world till we come to the bottom line of the entire Sefer Tehillim. Kol HaNeshama Ta'aleliyah Alleluya. Every soul will praise Hashem. Everybody. Yes, we in Yerushalayim can play quite an active role to make that happen. But the address is everybody should make it. A totally universal message. We have that here again in the flow which I presented in the shiur last week. That 138 is like going back to the exile. It's not true. Once we are successful in Eretz Yisrael, we open our horizons. We are not only in Eretz Yisrael for the Jews and those who come to visit the temple. We take care of the entire world, including our enemies and all nations. And it is a very special figure of King David who knows to go to the entire world and to talk to everybody, Jews in the diaspora and those who come back, and invite them to be part of the international universal Hallel for the entire world. That's an incredible message. I show you here the eight headings of Le David from 138 to 145. And from 145, it is Le David, 145 to the very end, it is Tehillah and Hallelujah, Hallelujah. If 145 was King David's private Tehillah Le David, Tehillat Hashem Yedaber Pi, afterwards there is a response of all those who listen to his invitation and follow his invitation, and the entire world will follow King David and they will answer. That is the uniqueness of Psukei de Zimra. I will address this point next week again. That is the special role of 145, closing the destruction in 137. But King David brings us back. Yes, he is a future prophetic figure. And he brings us back. And instead of fighting with the world and revenge, he invites us and invites all kings, Yoducha Hashem kol malchei aretz, Yoducha Hashem kol ma'asecha, and that is the final Hallel. We had these summaries, which I encourage you to look at very carefully. We couldn't sing in 137, but now we sing and ask the nations to sing. V'yashiru bedarchei Hashem, and King David sings. And King David, it says, Hanoten teshua lemelachim, 144, verse 10, God gives help, saves all kings. Yes, King David, but for all kings together. And that is exactly the idea that we praise him. I want to show you here something beautiful, and we don't have the time to elaborate it. We spent quite a lot of time for Mizmor 18 several months ago. And we saw that chapter 18 is the most authentic Mizmor, which is quoted in Shmuel Bet, in the second book of Samuel 22. That is the very authentic Mizmor of King David, which he sang at the end of his lifetime, according to the book of Samuel. This Mizmor has lots of quotations incorporated in 144. In 144, King David does what we call a relecture. He reads again what he experienced privately as the king when he was saved. He had a lot of fights and he had to survive. But in 144, it's by far not enough to color the same words because there is a huge difference. If in 18, King David spoke about his personal survival, his personal Hashem's saving to him, that he made it despite all the personal enemies he had, and he survived and built up his dynasty, in 144, it's a totally different music. That is King David from the past, the first temple period, the founder of the classical dynasty of kingdom. Now he talks about something totally different. Hanoten teshua lemelachim. He gave help for all kings. Because we are Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. We, as the Jewish nation, we are a blessed nation, and we have to do a lot. That's the last line of 144. He actually shows here, I was saved, that together with Am Yisrael, not only King David's dynasty 18, he is now here a symbol, a leader for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people play a role for the entire world, as we see in 145. This relictir is a very, very meaningful, very powerful expansion, worthwhile to print these slide out and see how beautifully everything is rephrased. It's not King David personally against his enemies. It is Am Yisrael who survives the exile, who survives the diaspora and all the fights, the destruction in Babylon, and comes back and is a blessing for all the nations. Ashrei Am Shekachalo, Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokav. And the next verse is 145. And that brings us, I will not repeat that, we spoke about that last time, but I want to close with this very interesting note on why did Chazal in the Sidur add two psukim at the beginning and one at the end. And we see here, we don't know exactly who did it at what time. In all Sidurim, they appeared together. Ashrei at the beginning twice and another pasuk at the end. And now we have, according to the contextual interpretation, whoever added that, a most powerful explanation. Because the pasuk Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav, is just the closing about the previous mizmor. We said that 145 is universal. True. But the line before says, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo. We, as the Jewish nation, praying Tehillah LeDavid, we add, it's our job to do that. The universal message, we in the synagogue, when we pray in the Jewish minyan, in the Jewish prayer home, we have as a nation the obligation to bring this universal message to the world. So that makes clear why Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav is quoted here. And it has the same wording. But look at here now that the Ashrei Ashrei is in from 84, has the same words of Malki Elohai Ashrei Yoshvei Vetecha Yahalalucha Ashrei Adam Ozlovach. It is the longing in Mizmor 84 of the writer of chapter 84 who brings him closer to be part of Am Yisrael. So that is the individual experience, 84, and that is the national experience, 145, to bring it to the universal level, 145. And what do we have at the end? How beautifully King David takes us to the broader level of the entire universe, and we should say Tehillat Hashem. We quote now from the first Hallel, because the first Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel, begins with Elohai, 145 begins with Arumimcha, Elohai HaMelech. We continue, as I just said a few slides before, we continue where the Egyptian Hallels ended. Eliyata ve'odeka Elohai Arumameka. So we remember at the end, all flesh should say and bless Hashem, yes. But for the time being, let's go back to the world of the Egyptian Hallel. We were saved. We played a role. We will bless Hashem from now forever. Hallelujah. Because not everybody is on the same page without yet. Once it will happen, as we shall see in next week's Shi'ur. So that is the beautiful flow that it's a universal message for all the entire world. We saw the structure and the message of Mizmor 145, which fits perfectly to the location of the Hallel as the closing of the last collection of King David's unit and the opening of the last Hallel when everybody will respond and share it. And I tried to explain why these psukim, why psukei desma, how it is integrated, 145, in the daily sidur with the psukim beforehand. And next time we will talk about the rest of the psukei de zimra in our last lecture. So that was the Shiur 145 today. We will talk about Psukei de Zimra next time. That will be the closing lecture. And for the summary, I can tell you in the last Shiur, I invited Professor, my friend in Germany, Professor Egbert Ballholm, to say about 20 minutes he will talk. And we had other ideas. Whoever has ideas should please share it with me or with Susan and Audrey. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Benny. There's a number of questions on this very interesting in-depth look at Ashrei. So the first one is from Tova. There are 14 different roots of words that express communication and speaking. Is there a meaning to the variation? Melech uses a lot of different ways to express communication and speaking. So the weight of each type of choice. For your thoughts.
That's an excellent question. I'm not sure if I can give an answer, but I want to tell you the very fact that the last mizmor is full, like packed of words. I want to lahagid, lesaper, lahalel, levarech, lahagid. I want to do everything I can to get the word out. This very message in itself, before we try to understand what every word means or might mean specifically, the fact that he can't hold himself. He does it himself. Levarech, yevarchucha, and vivarech kol basar. But he keeps talking all the time. Please pay attention. There is a very interesting transition from the singular in the first part. Not all the first part is singular. In the second part, it's a plural. Malbim, I want to refer to Malbim and Rav Hirsch. They are very, very much into it to distinguish every different expression of asaprena, yahallelucha, yishapchucha, dolado yishabach ma'asecha. So I want to refer, I'm not ready to present you everything they said, and I want to say more than that. I'm not sure that all these observations, the way I read it there, I cannot say that they all convince me. But what convinces me, it is full. He can't stop. He can't close himself. It explodes what he wants to say. All the explanations they give, I refer to Rav Hirsch and Malbim, who are extremely on both of them, very, very detailed, what every word means. And read there and tell me what you think is convincing, or whether you want to leave it just on the general level, that he explodes to get the word out to the entire world.
Excellent, thank you. And you just touched upon this now, and you did discuss it also in the class, the constant shifting in referring to Hashem in the second person and the third person. So Tzvi asked about why the constant change, which you did touch upon. Maybe just review that point.
Good. So I don't have a full explanation, but I want to say a general comment. If King David says to Hashem, "Bechol yom avarachecha, aromimcha," he says, "Avarcha shimcha, avarachecha va'ala shimcha." It's him deeply in his personal relationship and religious experience with Hashem. And that changes. It's not King David now and here and Hashem. It is all generations. Bechol dor vador, it says, dor ledor yeshabach ma'asecha. What King David does, everybody else joins him. I try to understand when is it the second person and when is it the third person that he's talking to Hashem, or talking about Hashem. I try to understand, when is he talking privately, singular, and when is he talking, I will say, I will praise, or we will praise. I couldn't find a clear distinction. So it's not very, I'm not sure if it's very convincing. If I don't find a clear explanation, it can be for two reasons. I don't know.
and too bad, let's think about it or ask others or read about it. Or I can say, you know what, there is no clear distinction. But the message is, what King David started personally in verse 1 and 2 is so strong that others at one level and one intensity or the other, they get turned on and they get recruited. So whatever happens to them doesn't have necessarily a clear line. It is like a transition. And the word gets spread out a little bit here, a little bit there. At the end, we can tell for sure, it is Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kodesho Leolam Va'ed. But I think it's meaningful to say that King David at the end, he doesn't say, my mouth is praising you and all flesh will praise you. At the end, he involved everybody. He activated the entire world. That's his message. And once the entire world is activated, that's his focus. Therefore, he says, Tehilat Hashem Yedaber Pi. My mouth talks about him, praises him. But his focus is on the world. Vivarech Kol Basar, the focus is on all flesh. And you, Kol Basar, you will praise him. So he is down to earth. If at the beginning, that's an outstanding message. If at the beginning he had a very close, intimate relationship to Hashem, I praise you, I bless you. At the end, it seems that he gives that away. Why? Because if he wants to be involved with everybody and he wants to be the leader of everybody and he turns the Shimcha Leolam Va'et to Shem Kodesho Leolam Va'et, he prefers to have the Kedusha, the holiness, by having involved everybody more than being still with his personal relationship, God, I, and you. He says, God, we, and all flesh, and him. Because he is down on earth and everybody he wants to take with him. I hope it was clear what I tried to explain.
Yes, it was very clear. Thank you so much. Now, the other question coming up to Yeduch Hashem in verse 10 seems to be too idyllic, David Eisen points out, as if all creations will praise Hashem, as if this world has no scoffers. So it's interesting because that really relates to what you just said, going from the me to the universal, Kol Basar, and it, in a sense, that's David HaMelech's ideal, that there are no scoffers, but what are your thoughts on that?
What does it mean, scoffers?
People who make fun or reject Hashem, that they're against. A scoffer is somebody who is against.
Okay. So that's an interesting concept. Because if this simple word of ma'asav, ma'asecha, all praise his creatures, and at the end, we see that everything God created is actually there in order to thank him. We believe that everybody can be part of it. Yes, there are some evildoers at the end. It says in 19, Ritzon yira'av yaseh. We know that Karov Hashem Lechol Korav in 18, Lechol Asher Yekeru Be'emet, all those who are with him, follow him. But yes, there are those, Ritzon Yir'av Yaseh, Ve'chavatam Yishma Ve'oshiyem, he will listen to them. Shomer Hashem Et Kol Ho'avav. And in one verse only, in 20b, we say, in 20b, Ve'et Kol Harsha'im Yashmid. The evildoers, they will not survive. But it is an overwhelming experience that the good one, the good energy, will take over. King David starts, those who don't follow me, gone. But now let's come back to Mizmor 1, verse 6. Yodea Adonai derech tzadikim v'derech hasha'im tovet. God knows those, the way of the good ones, and the way of the bad ones will fade away and go. God will not destroy them. Yes, here it says destroy. The good component, the good flow of the world will take over and will be very, very powerful and bring everybody to Vivarech Kol Basar, Shem Kodesho Leolam Va'ed. Just forget about the bad ones.
Very good. Thank you. So Molly had a good point. Melech in reverse is kulam, right? Mem, lamed, chaf, and then you have chaf, lamed, mem. So what do you think of that? And also, I'm going to actually combine it with the next comment, if that's okay, because we have malchutcha, malchut kol olamim. So Toba pointed out, kol olamim means worlds, and dor means time. So kol dor vador is perhaps equal to kol olamim. So we have this melech and kulam, and kol dor vador and kol olamim. You know, it's like a play on words. What do you think of those ideas?
That's a very nice point. We say in the Kedusha, according to Nosach Sfarat, Kulam l'cha Kedusha yishaleishu, Yachad Yachad, everybody together. So the Malchut comes only with Kulam. No doubt about it that the acceptance of the kingdom in 145 is built on the idea, on the concept that everybody is part of it. The word kulam is not mentioned here. The word kol is mentioned. So you can say kvod malchutcha lehodia livnei adam is kol. It's not as powerful as you have three lines, which is malchut, but it fits for sure the flow of the ideas. There were scholars who said that kaf lamet mem is just naturally what is the acrosticon. But it's not an intention. I don't think so. I think the fact that the Malchut is mentioned only in 11, 12, and 13 points out that is the topic of these three verses. And therefore, it is Malchut. About Kulam, yes, Kulam, we have afterwards Kol in the following Psukim, we have it very often. So you can say the word Kol after 11, 12, Kaf Lamed, is mentioned in 13, Malchutcha, Malchut, Kol Olamim, Memshaltecha, Bechol Dor Vador, and so on, L'chol Anoflim, L'chol Kfufim. You can say that. I'm more in favor. I pointed it out about Kulam and Kol. It fits to it. It can be a further support.
Yes, thank you. So Carol pointed out that you're saying all the references to enemies and snares and traps in 139 to 144 are an attempt to heal the trauma of Shiva Tzion from being in the diaspora? That's a question. Does it also address the difficulties of living up to our mission in Eretz Yisrael? So what do you think of that?
So that is a full lecture. No, these are six full lectures. And I'm more than happy if you can listen to Hebrew lectures, I discussed it there in detail. We have in 143 Psukim quoting Echa. That is actually, if we think about the text, let's think about the psychology. We live in a very special time. We will celebrate soon Yom HaTzmaut, beforehand Yom HaShoah. So the idea of Yom HaShoah and Yom HaTzmaut, which we will mention in a few weeks, very soon, I think that they are deep in our awareness, in our identity. What King David wants in 138 is not revenge. He wants justice from Hashem. And he wants to take not only the Jews out of the exile, he wants to take the exile out of the Jews. And he wants to bring them at the level that King David in 18, the very authentic King David from Sefer Shmuel, who was fighting for his kingdom, for his children, he will be King David who will continue this message for Am Yisrael, and the dynasty of King David, 18, will be the kingdom of Am Yisrael for the entire world. And that is a very powerful message. There is a lot to say, and I apologize, Carol and everybody else. I apologize, I couldn't elaborate that. I had to pick a choice, and I looked directly at 145. But 144, as an introduction, or the last step before we come to 145, the real Tehillah of Tehillim is that we are strong. We are a nation. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo, ashrei Hashem, ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. And afterwards, what we really want is not the power and the strength of our nation. No, we want to give the microphone to King David. What is your message for the entire world? Ola goyim. That's what we need our strength for as a nation, to let King David lead us further.
Thank you so very much. The wonderful message for Pesach, even though it was not a Pesach specific shiur, but really, really lovely. Thank you very much, Rabbi Benny and Moedim L'Simcha. Thank you everyone for joining, and we look forward to seeing you next week to continue our journey through Tehillim.
Thank you very much. It might actually be, Susan, Pesach specific, because as I pointed out in the Shiurim on the Hallel, Pesach HaMitzri in the Haggadah, we add on, according to Chazal, Hallel HaGadol, and the closing of the Bracha is Nishmat Kol Chai. The flow of the three Hallel is actually, yes, it is a specific experience of the Egyptian Hallel, but it takes us further.
Okay, thank you so very, very much.
Chag Sameach, thanks everybody.